Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 48 of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni. I'm one of your co-hosts. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd. Here with me today.
Hey, my name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. We just really want to welcome everyone to the podcast and thank everyone for the great response we've had over the last few episodes. Lots of comments in the blog posts. We've seen great feedback in the iTunes review, and that really helps us out and just keeps us motivated, so appreciate that. You can also catch all of our previous shows on eduallstars.com/podcast, or you can just download the podcast app and search out Edu All-Stars there.
And we are excited to have a new sponsor for these next four episodes. We have Remind 101 who is sponsoring us. And if you haven't heard about Remind 101, they are a great free texting service that allows you to text parents and students without ever needing their phone number, and they never need yours. And the best part about it, and the reason I love it, is that it is a one-way communication tool. So you can send the notifications to the parents and not have to hear all these random text messages back. It's a great free resource, and we definitely recommend that y'all go check it out. And we've got a link on our website, eduallstars.com. And we also want to encourage you, as you watch the show tonight, to tweet out using the eduallstars hashtag so that we can see the conversation. We are so excited about this week's guest. We have Jenny Majera, who is the Digital Learning Coordinator for the Academy for Urban School Leadership, which is a network of 29 neighborhood Chicago public schools. She's also been a fourth and fifth grade math teacher and a math technology coach. And she is an Apple Distinguished Educator, Google Certified Teacher, Chicago Public Schools 2012 Tech Innovator of the Year, and recently a White House Champion of Change. So thank you, Jenny, for coming on with us today.
Thank you. With you, Todd, together.
That's right. But so, Jenny, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in education.
So I've always wanted to be a teacher. My sister says it's because I have a big mouth and I like to boss people around. So I like to think it's a little bit more of an altruistic goal than that, but she might be right. I actually went to the teacher store as a little kid and made my mom buy me workbooks, like math workbooks, that I then assigned to my little sister, which might have something to do with her belief that I like to boss people around. So I've always wanted to be a teacher, and then went through, you know, college, got my degree, became a teacher, went into the classroom and realized that, you know, 21 years of dreaming about being a teacher and bossing my little sister around and going to education school did not prepare me to be a teacher, and really learned that I had no idea what I was doing. In my first couple weeks of teaching, my mentor told me that I looked like I was scared of the kids. And I was like, I am. I'm really scared. I taught fourth graders, and they terrified me because I was so afraid I'd break or lose one of them. And, you know, after a couple years, I got less scared and started to get my stride, and I decided I wanted to try something new, and got an iPad grant, and then had new things to be afraid of. And instead of my students, I was afraid of the iPads, and overcame that. And now I support teachers in overcoming all of their fears and helping them jump in with both feet and be excited about all of that. So it's been a long and fun journey, and I'm still, you know, on it. I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years, but it's been really exciting to see how the landscape of education has changed from when I was a little girl dreaming of being a teacher to now.
Right.
It's funny that you mentioned being a brand new teacher. I was just having a conversation with my mom last night about how little you know whenever that first year of being in the classroom. I've only been in the classroom 4 years now, but just looking back, I'm just like cringing, shaking my head at like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe like this and that happened. And it's just really unbelievable how much you don't know.
And go ahead, Todd.
There you go.
I was just going to say, I think no matter how much you go through preparing to be a teacher, you know, I always knew and I always, you know, going to a school to learn about education, all of that, you walk into the classroom with a certain level of hubris, right? You're like, oh, I totally get teaching. I am an expert at teaching because I was in a classroom for like 14 years as a little kid. You know, I went to kindergarten, first grade, second grade. I've done fourth grade before and all the grades after it. Thereby, I'm going to be totally boss at being a fourth grade teacher. And you walk in and on the other side of the desk, you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea how much goes into teaching. And you think you know because you've been a student, but you really don't.
Yeah, it's kind of that same thing with restaurant owners. Everyone can own a restaurant, right, because they've eaten at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I can run a restaurant, and then 95% of them fail, you know, in the first year.
Exactly.
So when did you, I'm going through a master's program now, and Todd has his master's degree and is going to be a principal next year. When did you know you were kind of ready to step outside the classroom and kind of position yourself in a leadership role on campus or in the district?
I didn't. So they approached me and said, you're doing some interesting things with technology, and we really want to scale that. Would you want to – actually, first they said, would you want to be a coach, like a math coach, because my master's is in math education. And I said, no, I like teaching kids. That's why I became a teacher. And then the next year they said, do you want to do this with technology? And I said, no, I like kids. That's why I became a teacher. And then they asked again my second year of having devices, and they came to me and they said, look, I know what you're going to say. You know, I know that we've been talking to you, but really, if you think about how hard it was for you and how scary, we want other teachers to be doing this, and we need somebody who can help them. And I had been mentoring teachers from the classroom, student teachers, and then we're also an urban teacher residency. My network is, so I had resident teachers full year with me that I was training. And they said, you know, what's really nice about this is if you don't like it, you can go back to the classroom next year. If you don't like it, you can always go back with kids, and you'll get to keep working with kids. And so I worked it out with them where I get to still teach kids twice a week after school, because that's, again, why I became a teacher. I like working with kids. And they said it'll also help. And, you know, they also brought with me, like, you know, you can be myopic sometimes in the classroom. It'll give you a better idea of how schools run and what goes into running a school. Just like my eyes were totally open by becoming a teacher, by moving to the district level and supporting teachers, I've learned so much more, not only about how schools run, but about being a teacher. Like, there's so many different ways to skin a cat. When you're in your room seeing the way you teach all day long, sometimes you don't realize that there's a really different but really fabulous way to do the same thing. And so I hope, you know, I'm going to go back to the classroom in the next couple of years, and I feel like I have a whole new set of tools, not even just like more tools in my toolboxes, but new entire toolboxes that I could bring back.
Awesome.
So looking ahead, you have an idea of wanting to go back in the classroom for sure.
Yeah. Hats off to you, Todd, for wanting to be administrator. I think you have to be a certain, you know, you have to have a lot of patience and care and be able to have those difficult conversations to be an administrator. And I don't think that I don't own that toolbox of the different toolboxes that I have. I think I would cry if I made someone else cry. Like, I can make little kids cry. Making a fourth grader cry, I'm like, yeah, you know, but when an adult gets really sad, I'm like, oh, that's okay. You don't have to turn in your lesson plans anymore, you know. you know, it's okay that you come in after first period and you never do any work. I'm so sorry for making you sad. You know, being a coach is easier because it's not evaluative. It's all about helping. But with a principal, that's not my jam. Right. But I applaud people who can have the leadership and the power to be able to say those types of things.
I am looking forward to hearing those stories as Todd goes into his first year of, like, how'd you handle this? How'd you handle that? And and I'm sure he's looking forward to it as well.
I have lots of stories, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, Jenny, back in November, you were selected as one of 10 White House Champions of Change for Connected Educators. Can you tell our listeners and viewers a little bit more about that experience and what that was like? And more so, even going back to how you were notified all the way up to the actual meeting of the president.
You haven't talked about this?
We don't let him talk.
They don't interview me, and so I don't ever talk about it. So.
Oh, they should interview you.
No.
Well, okay, this is kind of weird because you went through the same experience. I didn't know. I don't know, Todd, did you know that you were nominated?
I did not know that I was nominated, no. One of my friends had mentioned that he was going to try to nominate me, and I was going to try to nominate him. And so we kind of talked about it, but I didn't know that it actually got completed. And I was like, this is just throwing your name in a hat. Yeah. It's not going to happen. It's too big of a deal.
I didn't know about the program at all. Like, I didn't know the phrase White House Champion of Change was nowhere in my lexicon. So I got, I don't know if you remember, Todd, but we got the email before we were notified about White House clearance, right? Mm-hmm. And they asked us for, like, our Social Security number and our email address and our phone number and our mother's maiden name, and it felt like a scam. And it said White House all over it, and it was from this lady who had a whitehouse.gov email address. So I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, a super fancy scam. So, like, I Googled the lady. I, like, looked up her .org email address. I looked her up. I looked for pictures of her. Like, I totally tried to do my due diligence, and my husband's an attorney. So after I had done all of the stuff, because I didn't want to send it to him and have him be like, oh, my God, you're so stupid. This is obviously, like, an African print scam, but for the White House. I then sent the email to my husband, and I was like, can you look at this? Like, I know that you're busy, but I think I won an award from the White House or something. I don't know. There's not, you know... Am I stupid? Should I send her back my social security number? So he looked at it. He's like, no, this is a real thing. You should be really proud of yourself. So I was still really nervous. And then I called my dad. And I was like, Dad, can you look at this? And I was going to just ignore it. I really thought that I was being scammed. Yeah. And so then finally I did it. And I sent it back. And that didn't even tell us, Todd. I don't know if you remember, like, sending that information. They didn't say we won. They just said they needed our info.
Email said, you're a finalist, so don't get too excited. We would still love to have you there no matter what, but...
Right. So we're like, okay. So then I send the information, and I was like, gosh, I hope they didn't, like, make me do all that. And then it was like, just kidding. but then they emailed, like, another week, and they said, you know, congratulations, you won. And by that point, I knew it was a real thing, so I was flipping out. I didn't tell anyone else, because I was like, this isn't really going to happen, and there's no way. So then what I told people, I was still downplaying, and I was like, I don't know. I think it was just like this thing that they do. It's probably not a big deal. I don't even know if I'm going to the real White House or like if I'm going to just like go to like Washington and they're going to like have us in the airport and then be like, nice, congratulations. But like every step of the way, like it just became more and more magical. Like I just wouldn't let myself believe it. And then, you know, we got to the White House. We got to go through security, which is like going through like three airport securities, right? And they let us bring our families, right? My husband, unfortunately, couldn't come because he was in court that day. Like I said, he's an attorney, and he couldn't, like, cancel the entire trial so that he could come with me. I was really sad. My little sister and my dad and my aunt and cousin came. And so we got to go, and it was nice meeting you, Todd, and meeting everyone else. And you brought your friend, right?
Yeah, I brought my wife and my two best friends, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Dallas brought his son, who was adorable, right? Mm-hmm. And so we got to meet all of them, and then we were so shocked because they kept saying, like, maybe the president will come. And it was kind of like what you say to the kids, you know, like, maybe we'll go to ice cream, but really not really. And then the president came, and we were all like, oh, my God, the president's here. So, I mean, it just kept getting better. And then he brought all the students up on stage who were in the audience. My cousin's technically a student because he's in high school, so he went up there, and he's, like, in the back, like, hi. So he has that experience now, and he told all – that's his Facebook profile picture is the picture of him – in that group picture with the president. So, I mean, that was really cool for me to give that experience to my cousin vicariously because he got to come. Just, you know, it was just amazing. It was so magical, and it was just great. I don't know. Now I'm blabbering.
Yeah.
No, so do you remember actually meeting President Obama?
Oh, my God, yeah, because when I met him, remember he was asking us where we're all from, and he said, where are you from? And I said, Chicago. And he said, Chi-Town in the house, and did a high five. And I was like, oh, my God, I just walked by the president.
See, I didn't remember any of it. I got off the stage, and my wife was like, he said your name. He repeated your name. And I said, no, he didn't say anything. I just shook his hand, and I was like, this is my name. This is my name. This is my name. Say it correctly.
Don't forget your name.
She was like, no, he spoke back. And I was like, really? So...
That's oh my awesome. Gosh! So I was. I don't. Do you have a picture of you shaking his hand?
I have the back of me.
Yeah, me too. I think we all have like really blurry, janky pictures because no one knew it was going to happen. So at the last minute, our family members are like batting each other the way to get the picture. We should have like, if we had known, we could have coordinated and been like, all right, well, Todd's wife has this nice camera, so she'll stand here and get a picture of everyone and email it out. Like, no. Exactly. Instead, it was like, you know, like seeing Bono in a crowd and everyone's killing each other to see him.
Oh, God.
So let's talk about something, professional development for a few minutes. So you're also one of the co-founders of Playdate. I've heard of Playdate. Todd and I were talking about Playdate before you got on the call here, and we don't really exactly know what it is. So can you talk about what it is and how that kind of came about?
I would be happy to. In fact, I'll share my screen and show you, too. Okay, so Playdate is a picture of you. Just kidding. Here we go. So Playdate came out of an idea. So two of my friends, actually a group of us, had gone to a professional development experience in another state a bunch of us from the school that I work at, or worked at, my office is still there, but it's a school I taught at, National Teachers Academy. So Autumn Laidler, Anita Orozco-Huffman, and Holly Mullenek-Stack and I were all presenting at an IPAD conference in the Northeast. And with us was also traveling Sue Gorman, who's an awesome EdTech integrator from Racine, Wisconsin. And so we were all on the Southwest on the way home, and we're kind of debriefing, and we're all sitting next to each other. So, and I think we maybe ordered wine on the plane, who knows? So we're sitting here chit-chatting, and we're talking about how it was a great event, but something that was really frustrating was that you go to all of these awesome conferences and you leave with more on your plate than when you got there. It wasn't like, oh my God, I feel so great, my questions are all answered, I'm good to go. It's, oh my God, now there's 47 apps on my to explore list because I learned about all these amazing things, but I don't have any time to explore them because I have to go back and guess what? Teach. So I have to go tomorrow and spend all day teaching and grading. I don't have time to sit down and play with Book Creator or Explain Everything or Weebly's or Google Sites or whatever. So instead, you just get more and more stressed out about all the things that you just learn about all the things you don't know about, basically. Like, haha, here's more things you don't know how to use. So we said, wouldn't it be great if there was a conference where you could just play with stuff? And so we talked about ed camps, and we said, well, in an ed camp, you're still kind of sitting and listening, right? Mm-hmm. We've gone to a lot of ed camps, and while it's kind of egalitarian in terms of what is being talked about, it's still, let's all talk to each other about things. And at the end, a lot of sessions are like someone presenting, like someone goes up and they're like, let me show you Google Scripts. And then everyone's like, cool, let me watch. And it's basically just a conference, right? So what we wanted was an event where no one is allowed to be on the front of the room at all. Like, literally, there'd be, like, a big hook in the corner, and if someone talked for more than, like, 30 seconds, you'd be like, shut up! And we wanted to just have rooms that were about exploring and playing with things. So we came up with the idea, I wanted to call it ExploraCon, because I want to make everything really sterile and robotic, because I'm a math teacher, I don't know why, but my friends were like, that's so boring, let's call it something really fun and playful. And we're like, that's it, let's call it play, because you're playing, and then Sue was like, let's call it play date, and then we kind of backwards mapped an acronym onto it, which is people learning and asking why, digital age teacher exploration. Then we came home and we called up our friends from another school on the north side of Chicago called Burley, who we collaborate around everything, and we said, hey guys, you got to help us with this. We got to figure it out. So basically what it is now is it's a series of rooms, and you get there and you've been told, like, okay, here are the different things we're going to be exploring. So you might go into the augmented reality room. And it's just a bunch of people, whoever decides to go there, playing with augmented reality and using the same Google Doc to explore it and chat about it. And it's people playing. So in the last one we had in Chicago, we had a room just about makerspace. And someone brought a bunch of makey-makey kits. And the teachers were building human pianos. They were building digital cameras in another room. They were learning how to write Google App scripts. So they were all just sitting there, like, watching a YouTube video together and trying it out and then failing and then trying it again. No one is an expert, so everyone felt really safe to be like, oh, well, I just mucked that up. Oh, this is really not working. Oh, you know, I don't know. But it wasn't like, I don't know, I'm scared because all these people are so smart. It was like, I don't know, no one knows. Everyone's messing up, so it's totally safe to try. And each room has a different topic or resource, and then you switch and go to another room. We had a home room or a study hall space, so if you weren't done learning, you can go and just sit in that room and continue learning, so you didn't have to switch if you didn't want to. Basically, it's that time that, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to spend all day Sunday learning how to use Final Cut Pro, but you don't because you have kids and you have to go grocery shopping. It's that space where you can actually do it. And then all day long, we have this demo slam doc going on where people, if you find something really cool or you're like, holy cow, I just did this, I want to show someone, you sign up and show what you made. So like Zach made these Uno circuit boards, and then we do a demo slam. We have a dot cam, a bunch of cables, a screen, and people come up and show off what they learned, so you can learn what everyone else is learning. And we also live broadcast that on Google Hangouts so other people can watch.
So who sets up the sessions? Are they're set up beforehand, before the actual event?
So during the registration,
or the rooms, okay.
In the Google Doc, we say, what do you want to learn about? And then we pick the top, like, 10 or 15 or whatever things that people want to learn about. And then people sign up for them. So let me see, play date. And then what we do is we have this Google Doc right here that people can just auto sign up for what they want to do. right here. So here is the plan. Oh, no, where is it? No, session set up and schedule. Here you go. So we make this public, and once you're confirmed, playdates also always have to be free. So when we've started, like, quote-unquote franchising this, we have a playdate DIY kit where people have to make agreements, like no presenters, never charge anything. So when you, we just register and we just cut it off when we think, you know, it's the right amount of people. But they just come on and they just write their name, and they can always come and move their names around. And then you can see each session has a challenge. So you can see here we had literacy tools in session one. A lot of people in the Google Form said they wanted to learn literacy tools, so we made two sessions, but no one wanted to go to the second one, which was fine. So this room was empty, and that wasn't a big deal. But there's a challenge on each session so that you can kind of say, like, here, we're trying to make a coding program or whatever.
Gotcha. Cool. That looks amazing.
I love this idea. Yeah. It's very. Yeah. Do you run into having people show up and they're just like, I don't want to do this. I want to sit here and learn. Or do you have those kind of people?
So the very first one we ever did, we didn't really know what we were doing either. So we did have some people do that. So then we made this little video where it's kind of like, don't come if that's what you want to do. And so then it goes through, and it just, like, so it kind of is like a 51 second, like, yo, and that's part of the registration form. Like, the first page of the registration form is just this video, and it's like, watch this video, and then it's like, did you watch the video? Yes or no? Like, do you understand? There are no presenters. Yes or no? Okay, now you can register. We really want to, like, hit people over the head with it, and it's okay if that's not the right kind of learning space for you and you want to go to. But don't come, don't come, we hate you, but just, this isn't the right learning style for you. Go to an ed camp or go to a regular conference. And that's okay. Those are great. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just sometimes you need a play date.
Have you seen anyone be able to integrate that into, like, their campus rather than do it, like, on a Saturday? Have you seen it, like, as a campus professional development?
Yeah, actually, all of us in that group of people, so we call ourselves BurnTA because it's Burley School and NTA, so when we did a celebrity mashup of our names. So that group of BurnTA teachers all started running playdates in their schools as PD. So they did, like, a book creator. Autumn Lather did one where she had teachers just come up to her room after school, and she said, okay, this day we're all going to be playing with book creating apps. They did one with Twitter, and they started, like, a Twitter Tuesday. So they definitely do it a lot more casually. And a lot of schools, I think I've seen, started picking it up that way.
Cool.
So, Jenny, I know that you also write quite a bit, even though you're a math brain kind of person. Have you always been a natural writer, or was that something that was something you had to learn to be?
I actually was never a math person. I was always a literacy person, a reading person. My sixth grade math teacher told me to stop trying so hard in math because I'm a literacy person and I'll never be good at math. Which I took as a challenge, and that's why I became a math teacher. So I always was more into the liberal arts. And in, you know, college, I did history and psychology. So I like writing, I like reading, and math I have to work harder at. Which is why I like being a math teacher, because I totally get when my kids are like, I hate math, it's confusing, and I'm like, I know, right? So let's work through this.
That's the same reason I started teaching math.
Yeah. And the same reason I will not ever teach math. So you're also quite the connected educator. You're quite active on Twitter. And can you tell us about just kind of a little bit about your journey on how you started in with social media and how you got connected with Twitter?
I wasn't on Twitter until 2011, I think, and I thought Twitter was stupid. I thought it was for, like, little girls to tweet about, like, Justin Bieber, and for, like, Kim Kardashian to show us pictures of what she was eating.
Todd still does that, so I don't know.
I actually do that too now. But I thought it was always on there, and I'm like, I already use Facebook to show people my hair, and I don't get why I only get 140 characters. Why is there so much punctuation in Twitter? I really didn't. I didn't know what a hashtag was. I didn't understand the at symbol. Like, just none of it made sense. What's RT? So I was at Apple Camp, the Apple Distinguished Educator Institute, in 2011, and everyone, like, during every single session, everyone had their laptops open, like, tick, 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 and I'm like, oh, they're taking notes. But then I saw that they had, like, these columns, these, like, streams of things, and I'm like, what's that? And they said, oh, it's Twitter. And I said, why do you have so many lions? And they're like, it's TweetDeck or Hootsuite. And, you know, they had their own Twitter aggregating sites. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is, like, a thing. And I literally was like, uh-oh. Like, like, if I don't get on board, like, I don't, like, for the whole week, everyone was, like, tweeting everything, tweeting each other. People would show up places together at the same time, and I'm like, did you guys just run into each other? Like, no, someone tweeted, meet up in room 202, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I realized that it was an actual tool for professional learning and collaboration in a virtual learning network. So I went home, and I asked my friend Autumn, and I said, Autumn, you're so good at Twitter. I have no idea how to use Twitter. Help me. And she kind of got me on Twitter. And I remember when I first got my first 100 followers, like, I called everybody. I was like, I have 100 followers on Twitter. it was so exciting. And it took me a while. I think I'm still learning how to use Twitter. I don't think I really totally understand it yet, but I'm trying.
Cool. Well, Jenny, what's been the biggest thing that you think you've learned this year?
Oh, my gosh. That's a good question. Let's see here. I think that I've learned, I wrote about this, I don't know if it counts this year, but in the past, like over the past, I'll say for school year. So this school year I learned that you can't, I've said no to things and thought like, no, I don't like that, I don't like whatever, tool, device, app, website. With the EdTech world, things are so constantly changing and the landscape is ever evolving that you can't say no forever. I can't say, you know what, Microsoft Surface, boo, boring, horrible, crap, I'm never going to use it. Like, you know, I actively mock people who use SkyDrive, right? It might, we don't know though, right, Todd? Like tomorrow they might come out with this amazing update that makes it, that kills it and like knocks Google Drive out of the water.
Right.
And I really much believe in you can't be brand loyal. You have to find the right tool for your students. And if it's best for your students, it's best for your students. If that's the end of the conversation. So I, for a long time, was really anti-Android. I thought that Android tablets were really janky. I really hated them. I came back and saw them. I'm like, wow, Play EDU is really cool. They've really rethought it. Right now, I'm really, you know, this, pro that. So I don't think I don't want to become a team blah person. I don't want people to think like, oh, well, that Megara, she's always team ch-ch-ch-ch. I want to be open-minded and understand iteration and constantly go back to things. And it's a lot more work not to be team something. It's a lot easier to say, that's my team. I root for them forever. I buy all the jerseys. That's my jam. But I think to be thoughtful educators and to model being thoughtful consumers to our kids, too, of technology, we have to put in that elbow grease and work to be constantly evaluating which tools we're using, why we're using it, and if it's the best tool for the job.
Right.
Do you read any like educational blogs on a consistent basis or any professional development books that you're reading right now? Or are you reading anything else that has nothing to do with education and just for fun that you want to recommend to somebody?
I got to say I'm not good at following one blog or one anything. I do have a Twitter list of people who tweet out really great great resources, and I'll find things that way. So I might be on the Google Drive blog one day. I might see Sylvia Tolisano's languages blog another day. I might see, you know, you guys. So I just kind of, based on what the wind brings me, mm-hmm. in terms of reading actual books, I don't know if it's because I was an intermediate teacher for so long, but I read books that are, like, catered to people who are from, like, age 8 to 18, and that's pretty much where my developmental line cuts off. If it was written for an adult, for anyone who graduated high school, then I probably won't read it. So, you know, a lot of Harry Potter, a lot of, like, Hunger Games, Maze Runner type books, and I get really into them. Like, I have to have, like, a vacation from my life to watch, to read an entire series at once because I'll binge through series.
So have you read the Divergent series?
Yes, I have. And being from Chicago, I have to read it. So the first two books in Divergent were so good that I had to read them, and I had to read them aloud. There was one part at the end of the first Divergent where I had to kind of crop out because it wasn't quite appropriate for fourth graders. First two were just so great, and it has so many lessons about who you are and being true to yourself. The third book I hated. It like took the entire plot line and said, hey, you know all the things that happened in the first two books? You're stupid for caring about them. Here's a different plot line. I think Allegiant ruins it, so it's that one's hard.
So that's not as good as Hunger Games.
The first two are really good. The last one. But if you want a series recommendation, Maze Runner is so amazing. And I think it's good for both gals and guys. Sometimes if the protagonist is a girl or a guy, it like more girls like it or more boys like it. Maze Runner has both a male and a female protagonist. It starts with a male, but then a girl emerges, and it's so thoughtful too, and it's got some science in it, and it's got some zombie type action. It's scary, but good scary, and appropriately scary for kids.
Yeah, I picked that one up at the book fair the other day just to look at it. It looked really cool, and I know a lot of the kids. I teach middle school, and a lot of the kids are reading that series right now too, so they seem
so
interested
good.
In it.
Yeah, I love that series. And Daughter of Smoke and Bones, another really good trilogy for middle-aged readers.
Cool.
I haven't heard of that one either. See, this is why I like doing this show, because I get these book ideas of things I need to start reading.
It's like my beach reading is coming to me right now.
So. Yep. So, looking back 5 or 10 years, what is a piece of advice that you would go back and give yourself?
Well, I would give myself a lot of advice for like all the stupid things that I did when I went up. Like, don't download $2,000 of iPad apps and stick them to all your iPads. You're not supposed to do that. Also, it's dumb. I mean, there's little things like that. You know, I didn't understand about SAMR model at all. So, like, substitution, augment to redefining, like, how do you use technology? How do you leverage it thoughtfully in your classroom? When I first brought iPads into my classroom in 2010, I was like, how can I make that worksheet work on the iPad? How can I make that protractor work on the iPad? Everything was like, how can I do that exact same thing I'm doing but on the iPad? And I wanted it to be the same because I thought that that's what I should do. So I didn't understand that. I would have taught myself not to do that, which is what I'm helping people hopefully now. Mm-hmm. And I also think that there was a lot of hubris. I talked about this before too, but, you know, going through, you know, once you hit a certain level of I got this, sometimes it's easy to rest on your laurels. I taught in the same classroom, the same grade for 8 years. I thought, you know, like, I got this, Jim. I've been teaching this lesson for 8 years. I've iterated it 8 times, like, nailed it, right? They actually called me, you know, they would say she's a master mentor teacher. Not me, but that was the type of teacher that I was. And, you know, it's like, how, let that go to your head. Like, I need a card. Like, nice to meet you, master mentor teacher, which is silly, right? So I think that I thought I understood it and I knew it. And I thought it was like, you know, someone was like, oh, what about teaching? I was like, oh, I got that. Teaching, figured it out, nailed it. Which is stupid. Like, what was I thinking? So I would have kind of like smacked myself and said, you know, have some humility and realize that you're on a journey.
Right.
That's great advice. So one of the things we always like to end the conversation with is just what's something you're really passionate about in education?
Right now, gosh, there's a lot of things. Right now, one thing that I'm huge into are girls in STEM. So try to think about how to encourage more of my young, not even like high schoolers, like my kindergarten girls to get geeked up about STEM. So I love things like Goldie Blocks and like the different engineering toys for really young girls to get them to, because I feel like there's all these studies about how toys towards girls are all about one way and all boys are more constructivist, and so we wonder, but how much of it is developmental, how much of it is nature versus nurture? Can we teach girls that they can still tell stories by creating their world through engineering? So I want to help my girls to be a little bit more well-rounded and help my boys to tell stories too, because that's also something they found, that boys don't often get toys that help them tell narrative arcs. So to kind of make it a little bit more egalitarian about like the gender dichotomy in young education, and also trying the connected piece. So global education, trying to figure out how we can connect our kids and get them to have voices and efficacy and agency, not only in their own neighborhoods but globally. So how can we encourage student voice and more choice in the classroom? So it's less of a fascist, like, do what I say, here's my agenda, you'll clock out at this time, you're a cog in the wheel.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, Jenny, I thank you so much for coming on tonight. We have been so excited to get to chat with you and hear your story and hear a little bit about your philosophies. So I really appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule with us today.
Oh, thank you. It was an honor. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, we had a blast.
And Jenny, how can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at Miss Magiera, MSMAGIERA.
Great. And for those of you who are listening, you can find us, the EduAllStars, on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ using the hashtag EduAllStars. You can also check out our website, eduallstars.com/podcast, to see all the 48 episodes that we've done. In addition to on iTunes, you can search out EduAllStars with no spaces to see all the episodes as well.
And then next Monday, May 26th, we're going to have Jennifer Lagarde on at 8 o'clock Central. And also, I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the broadcast, but I'm using a brand new microphone that I'm hoping someone will give me some feedback on. I ditched the Rock Band Xbox microphone for something a little more adultish. So hopefully it sounds better and you're not cringing on the way to work every morning listening to my crappy microphone.
Well, we would also like to end the episode thanking our sponsor for this week's episode, Remind 101. And remember, you can check them out on edualstars.com or on remind101.com. Thanks a lot, and we will see you all next week.
Thank you.